Well, good morning. Last weekend was 18 years since I've been in Sudbury. And 1 year in Montreal, 1 year too much. Good to be back in Timmins with you, dear precious folks here. It's lovely to see so many familiar faces and friends. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. And when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man who was there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. We thank you for your word. And Father, I pray for each and every one that is here this morning, that the word of God might, Father, speak to them like only it can. And we thank you, Father, that we have the word. And Lord, I pray for each and every one. Father, you know every heart in this room. You know what their hurts are in this room. Father, you know all about us. And Father, I pray this morning that you might just use some of the thoughts that you have given me, O God, that they might be used, Father, to maybe challenge and speak to hearts, Father, like only you can. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a little bit of context here in this parable. This is Wednesday, and Friday Jesus is going to the cross. And this is the third of a series of parables that he says specifically to the Jewish religious leaders who rejected him. And now what he's saying is God is rejecting you. So that's the context of it. And I want to take application here for us this morning, because I think there's a lot of application that we can use. There's four scenes, and I sort of named them. And the first scene is the wedding invitation. Now, Sean just came up and told us about a wedding that I've been invited to, by the way. One of the reasons Rosie didn't come with me, he said, "Hey, I'm going back in June to the Broughton wedding." Well, it's not just the Broughton wedding, but anyway. Now, how many of you watched the wedding last weekend? Put your hands up. You bunch of liars. John, get your hand up, a British subject like you are. Who didn't put their hands up that didn't watch that? Come on, right? Okay, very few. A wedding invitation. Now, can you imagine? Here's a king. And he invites you to a wedding. I think you'd take that pretty seriously. Imagine if the queen invited you to her grandson's wedding. I think you'd make every effort to try and get over to England to be at that wedding, right? This is a true story, by the way, I'm going to tell you. A few years ago, we have athletes in action banquets, not as frequently as Timmins, but we tried to duplicate a little bit of what goes on here. And a few years ago, I'm going to name three names. Put your hand up, and don't lie about this if you recognize these names, okay? Lori Boschman. Pretty good. See, because you've had him up here, right? And a lot of you don't remember, but he was the first captain of the Ottawa Senators when they were an expansion team. Mike Fisher. Yeah. Just retired. Plays for the Nashville. Played his junior hockey in Sudbury. And Carrie Underwood. Now again, you guys, I tell you, you know who Carrie Underwood is. True story, okay? Lori Boschman, when he spoke at our Athletes in Action, was telling me this story because he stayed with me and he said, Tony, I got to tell you this. Well, you know Mike Fisher's married to Carrie Underwood, right? Well, he got invited to the wedding. He got a phone call from Mike Fisher and said, because Mike played in Ottawa, right, before he went to Nashville, and the chaplain for the Ottawa Senators is Lori Boschman. So they became very, very good friends. And Mike calls Lori and says, hey, Carrie and I are getting married, and I want you to come, you and your wife. And you won't know where it is, and I can't tell you where it is, but you just show up at the airport in Ottawa, and there'll be tickets to where you're going to go, and you just be ready, and here's the date. Get to the airport at this time, and the tickets are there, already been purchased. And Lori says, Mike, it's summer. I'm working. I'm at the camp. I'm at a hockey camp that weekend. I can't make it. Mike says, okay. Wish you could have come. Anyway, he gets home. And he said, oh, by the way, dear, we got invited to the Carrie Underwood, Mike Fisher wedding, but I told him we couldn't go. What? Within a minute, he said, I phoned Mike back, and I said, we will be there. Well, you can imagine, right? And it turned out they went in somewhere. I can't even remember where he said they went. They flew into this place, and they were picked up. And no, they didn't want anybody to know other than the people were invited. Friend, listen to me. You have been invited to the wedding of the Son of God. And the reaction, we see it in this first scene. We see the reaction of people. And it's still the reaction today, right? When you invite people to come into a relationship with Jesus, it says here in verse 3, they were not willing to come. Speaking more of the Jew at the time, but still, today, it's still the same. People are not willing to come. And there's actually two reactions to the invitation. You know, I've experienced both of these reactions. One of them, I've shared with people what happened to me. I accepted this invitation 35 years ago, and I accepted an invitation to come to know Jesus Christ and to be part of the bride of Christ. And I like to share that with other people if I can, if they give me an audience, if they will give me time. But the reaction is usually twofold. One, similar to what we see. Verse 5, what does it say? They made light of it. A lot of people do that, right? They make light of the invitation. I'm busy. I might think about it. But generally, I've run into that a lot. You? I've run into that a lot of times. People just, hey, I'm busy. I'm not interested. And the other one is some people became furious. And they actually beat up the messengers. I've had that. Not physically, although I think at times people wanted to, if they could have got at me, tore me apart. Just sharing the message of Christ. I remember one time in the streets of Ireland, and I went there on a short-term mission, and, you know, I don't like door-to-door ministry. Some people in this room, I know you do. You like that. I like street preaching. The assembly that we go to in Florida, they like to go down to the beach in Florida, and share the, there's literally thousands and thousands of people that walk by, and they I got a good voice for that. And they like me, especially where I am in Florida and Hollywood, they like me because I'm bilingual. I can say it in both languages. I remember sharing, you know, that Jesus is inviting you to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I remember a guy coming to my face, like literally that far from my face in Florida. I wasn't scared of him, but he was so angry at what I was saying. And I was trying to be nice about it. Just anger came out. I'm sure if he could have punched my lights out, he would have done it. Well, I think he was thinking about it. So there's two reactions to the gospel, the good news, the invitation. The second scene is God's anger. God's anger. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. Now, listen, folks. I know I am in a place that takes the word of God very seriously. And I appreciate that. You have no idea. I said to someone the other day, I go preaching where I get invited. And I get invited quite a bit, and I thank God for that. I go to churches at times, and I'm telling you this, that people come up to me afterwards. It happened a few weeks ago in a church in Sudbury that I was invited to speak at, and a lady came up to me and said, you know what, Tony? We never hear that here. And part of it is, you see, the gospel is good news, isn't it? The gospel is an invitation. But it says here that the king was furious because of the rejection of the invitation. Now, that's not a popular message. I understand that. People don't like to hear that God could get angry. And we hear very little about the anger of God, but it's part of the gospel. It's the side another side of the same coin. The gospel is good news. Come, come. Today, if you hear his voice, come. Come. But God knows your heart here, folks. And if you say no to that invitation, if you say no to that invitation, the Bible is very clear that God's anger is upon you. You see, we live in a day of grace, don't we? We live in a time where today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. And the reason it doesn't say tomorrow is the day of salvation, because none of you that are here today have any guarantee that there will be a tomorrow for you, at least on this planet. And so the king was furious. I want to read to you Romans chapter 2. Now, I'm going to do it in the Living Translation. The reason I'm doing that, it's not a paraphrase per se, but it's just, I like the way it says it here. So I just want you to listen to Romans chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that this kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up for yourselves terrible punishment. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth, and instead live lives of wickedness. That's Romans chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. The third scene, new guests are invited. In the context of this parable, I believe that this is once God put the nation of Israel aside, he invited you and me, the Gentiles. And this invitation is still out there today. But it says, I also named this good and bad. The invitation goes out, and he says, go out into the highways. The king says this. The people that I asked to come, they said no. The Jews. They said no. And even today, the Jews have a veil, the Bible says, over their heart. They can't see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They can't see it. Again, you go back into where I am in Florida, very, very Jewish section of Florida, South Florida. And there's thousands of Jews, and I've had many conversations with Jewish people, and I love them dearly. I really do. But they can't see it. Yeshua, Jesus, to them, it's like you're cursing to them. They can't see it. And I remind them, I said, listen, true born-again Christians love the Jew. The Bible came from you guys. We thank God that God has maybe put you aside temporarily, but he's going to deal with the Jews again. And folks, that's the Bible. Isn't it wonderful that we have the Word of God? And you see that little nation over there in the nation of Israel, the size of not even the size of New Jersey, and it's in the news every day. You wonder why that is? And they have 50 million people ready to drive them into the Mediterranean Sea, and if they could do it, the Palestinians and the Jordanians and the Egyptians and the Syrians and their enemies are all around them, and yet God preserves them because he sees going to deal with them again. But you see, the invitation after they rejected Jesus Christ came to us, the Gentile. And he says, go out there and get the good and bad. Now, what's he mean by that? What does he mean by good and bad? Well, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to show you something. I never really saw this before, not in this way at least. And I've read this verse many a time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I never saw that before. Paul's saying to the Corinthian church, and some of you were like that. That's me. I'm in that list. And some of you were like that. The Corinthian church was infamous in a way, right? For they lived in a world like we live in today. The Corinthian church, the Corinthian believers had come out of a world, you read anything about Corinth, very similar to what you and I, we live in a cesspool, folks. I don't know if you've thought of that or not. Morally, we live in a bankrupt society. And, you know, we get used to it, right? And nothing seems to bother us anymore. Bothers God, though. But you know what I like? The king says, go out and get good and bad. I'm part of the bad. You? That's my testimony. I was one of these in that list of 10 or so things. I was one of them. But the Bible says there's no one good. No, not even one. And when the king was asking for good and bad, you know, it's just comparison, right? Like some people in here, I know, you brought up in a Christian home, and, you know, generally you're pretty good, right? Might be good. Come with me into the jail ministry in Sudbury, and I go in there, and it's shocking to me. You know, God just shows me this, it seems, on a weekly basis. Tony? But for the grace of God, there go you. I talk to people, it's amazing. Talk to a young man, incarcerated, Christian home he was brought up in. It's amazing how many kids in Christian homes are incarcerated. Shocking. And this young guy was telling me, you know, he said, Tony, the first time I ever did drugs, I was hooked. And you know what? If you don't think Satan doesn't have a tool today that wasn't available, thank God it wasn't available in my day. I remember in grade 13 at Timmins High, there was a few dope heads. And they were weird, and us athletes and jocks, like, we didn't touch that stuff. You know, we were doing bad things, but it wasn't, at least, thank God, if I'd have had the drugs that they got today and so available today, would I would have tried it? You better believe it, I would have done it. And this guy said, you know what, Tony? The first time I ever tried it, I was hooked. And this guy was incarcerated for armed robbery. He was so hooked, he would have stole off his grandma, and they often do. good and bad. You know what I found out about myself that I never really understood until I came to Christ is what I'm really like on the inside. Ephesians chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible because in the first three verses it talks about Tony Martin. Dead, depraved, diabolical, doomed. That's me. That was me. And you know what? He said, go and get the good and the bad. So I don't know what you think you are today. But one thing I know, if you're without Christ here today, you're dead. Now, you might not smell as bad as some of the, you know, I was in Hamilton last week preaching, and Rosie and I stayed downtown, and when I went out in the morning to get a coffee, I mean, I could not believe the amount of people that had spent the night in the streets in downtown Hamilton. Like, I was shocked by it. And this young lady comes up to me and says, sir, do you have any money? Well, you know what? Like today, I got a card. I left my wallet in that. No, I did. I had my card, right? Because I don't have any cash. I said, I don't know. I asked the lady, a young lady. I said, how do you guys live on the streets? Nobody's got cash anymore, right? Well, she says, I'll take your card. But, you know, the thing that got me about her wasn't her cologne, when I tell you that. I bet you this young lady, and I really felt sorry for her, hadn't had a shower, I bet you, in weeks, if not months. You can imagine the smell. You know what, folks? When you take the Bible and you let it look at yourself, have a good look at what you're like. Now, you might not stink like I used to stink, but when the Bible speaks to your heart about who you are, who you really are, you ought to be like Peter and say, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful person. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. Because you know what? The problem that we have in our society today, and people are always been doing this, is they like to compare themselves to other people. Well, I'm not like that bum in the street in Hamilton. But you see, God sees you differently. God sees you the way you really are. And I feel sorry for you if you're here this morning and you think you're all right before a holy God. He said, you go out and get the good and the bad and bring them in, and they're invited. The fourth scene, it's almost out of context, or you can almost, you wonder, why is this in here, this fourth scene? I called it the wedding crasher. Why is it in here? So when the king came in and saw the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now look at the reaction of the king. The king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The king's reaction is worse than the first group that refused his invitation, the people that were, you know what, I'm busy, don't bother me. or the people that were angry because they were invited. Who's the king? I'm not coming. But this guy got in with the good and bad. But he was the only guy there that didn't have a garment on, a wedding garment. Obviously, the king provided the garments. Now, when I think of Carrie Underwood's wedding, she provided a lot of things. Can you imagine? All her friends from all over the world that were invited, she paid for the airfare. But it says here the king provided a garment. You weren't getting in there just, you know, in your Sunday best. He provided the garment. And everybody else in the room had a garment. Folks, this speaks to us of the worst sin of all sins. It's the unpardonable sin. And that's why the reaction of the king. It's you thinking that you can get to heaven on your own. Your way. There's a lot of ways. I hear that all the time. There's a lot of ways to heaven. You know, one group does it this way and the other group does it that way. I'll tell you, if you took a survey here in Timmins, I bet you the survey would be similar to surveys in Sudbury and everywhere else in the world. How do you get there? Well, I got my way. God's going to accept my way. Folks, if you don't have a wedding garment, you don't get in. See, the garment was for the wedding of his son. The garment to get into heaven is nothing to do with you. We sang about it this morning. Someone had to die to take your place. You couldn't get in without the blood of Jesus. I never understood anything about the blood of Jesus Christ. It was part of a ritual. The Lamb of God, I remember as a kid. The Lamb of God, I memorize it. You want to hear it in French? You want to hear it in Latin? I got it memorized. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I didn't understand the Lamb, and I didn't understand what that meant. I really didn't, although I said it. I never understood that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and he, because of his sinless life, took your place and took my place. And when God looks down at Tony Martin, and I know this by faith because it's in the Word of God, he doesn't see the old Tony. Thank God. Thank God. He sees the new Tony covered in a new garment. That's what God sees. Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by faith, you can be covered today. You can be covered. Don't be like this guy who goes in there and thinking, you know what? I know he's provided a garment, but I like my garment. I like the way I do things. And surely it's going to be acceptable. Folks, the other name that I gave for this fourth section is not only the wedding crashers, but don't insult the Spirit of grace. In Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 29, it says, you are stomping on the blood of Jesus Christ. If you think you can get to heaven any other way but through Jesus Christ, there's no other way. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Friend, don't you insult God, because that's what the Jews did. The Jews insulted God because they thought that they could get there because they were the religion of God. They were the chosen of God. If righteousness could be obtained through the keeping of the law, then Christ died for nothing. Let me give you an example of something. You guys won't know this name. If you do, good for you. Do you know who Aaron Feist is? Of course you don't. I'm going to tell you who he is. Rosie and I were in Florida, and on the day of the Parkland shooting. Now, you remember that high school where 19 people lost their lives that day. Remember that? Well, that literally is 10 minutes from my place. And when I turned on the news, we were told that a shooting had taken place. We didn't know anything more than that. And I was worried about getting home on 95 in the traffic about this. So we got back to our place, and we got on the news, and, you know, the rest is history. There was a guy there. He was a high school teacher. His name was Aaron Feist. He was a high school football coach. 290 pounds. He played college football and now was a high school coach at the Parkland High School. He became a hero because, and I saw eyewitness testimony a few days later on TV. He was a big man, you can imagine, 290 pounds, huge. Used to be an offensive lineman in college football, big boy. And when the shooter came in and he realized that this was just no drill, he grabbed people and started doing this with them, grabbed them. One girl said, he picked me up like I was a doll. Literally threw her behind him. And others said, yes, he punched me because I wasn't listening. I didn't know. I was in a panic. I didn't know which way to run. He literally grabbed me and punched me, and he threw me behind him. And he did it with a dozen people. True story. And literally, eyewitness accounts said the shooter came up to him. People were behind him, some on the floor behind him that he literally had tossed there. And he put his arms out because there was one girl by his arm and another girl by the other arm. And he put his arms out and he took 9 shots. To his torso. But he saved a dozen people's lives, and they gave an account of it. Now, let me do a scenario. I call her Susie. She was the one that got punched. And she goes up to Mrs. Feist. He left 3 kids, toddlers, and his wife. And the girl, Susie, goes up to Mrs. Feist a few days after this and said, you know what? I wish he wouldn't have punched me. I wish he wouldn't have punched me. I was going to be all right. I would have been just fine. Friends, God sent his son to die for you and to take your place. He went to a cross and he put you behind it. Because the wages of sin is death. You die without Christ. You have no excuse, friend. You see, the protection is there. He took your place. Don't insult God by saying, I could have got there on my own. That is insulting the spirit of grace. If you think that you're good enough to get to heaven without God's Son having died in your place, folks, I tell you, there is no hope for you. And that is why there is a place called H-E double hockey stick for people who insult God and say, you know what? I don't know why you sent your Son to that cross. I could have done it on my own. Folks, that's what religion is. And that's what good works are. And that's what people think today. They nullify the cross of Calvary. And they literally spit in God's face. Why did you do that? I didn't need for God, your Son, to die. Folks, you got kids. You got kids. If I'd have known grandchildren that much fun, I'd have had them first. You ask me to give up a grandchild for you? I don't care who you are. I mean it. I got two sisters here. I love them. They're crazy, but I love them. I wouldn't give up one of my grandchildren. No, not for a second for you. I don't care how good you are. Folks, God gave his Son. I don't know how to plead this parable any better than that. I don't. I see it. I never really saw it so much as I've seen this last scene of someone trying to get in without a garment. And why God was, the king here was so angry about it. Now you, I hopefully understand. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about another wedding that you've been invited to and how you can prepare for that one you will absolutely go to if you have received the invitation of coming to Jesus Christ. There's a wedding feast. You know, I watched a little bit. Yes, I admit it. Last Saturday, because we were in an hotel room and Rosie was up. Gling! The TV, I mean it, I say this honestly, God knows my heart. I wasn't thinking about the wedding that morning. I was thinking about, where am I going to find the nearest coffee that I need? But Rosie had that TV on. And you know what? I watched. I watched the vows. I watched the pomp. I mean, it was, you know, you got to admit, guys. It would have been kind of interesting. I don't know if I'd have liked to sat there for an hour or whatever. You know, whenever I do a wedding ceremony, it's pretty quick, in and out. But anyway, it was something. That procession afterward, folks, listen to me. You know Jesus? You know Jesus? I know you do. I tell you something. You're going to go to a better wedding than that. You're going to, and it's going to be unbelievable, folks. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb that we're invited to, and I know I'm going to be there. And I want to share that with you tonight, how you can prepare for that wedding. I think the Broughtons are preparing, aren't they? They're preparing, right? Daughter's getting married. Preparate. Listen, I've gone through it a few times, especially with girls. I remember Stacy. I said, if that girl says maybe or I don't know or no, you're getting married. You're leaving the house. I couldn't get her down that aisle fast enough. I mean, she was so lovesick for a stinking year that I had to put up with that girl on before. Anyway, folks, love you dearly. God's word is wonderful, isn't it? And I want to pray now, and I want you to think about where you're at with God. Have you accepted that invitation? If you haven't, you can do it. Even in the quietness of your heart, God knows your heart. You can do it right now as we pray. And I give thanks even for the food downstairs. But folks, thanks for coming this morning. I thank you so much. I love you folks. You have no idea. Every remembrance I have of Timmins is wonderful. And this place in particular, you can imagine a young baby saved on a Thursday, go to Grace Bible Chapel on a Sunday. I thank God for you folks, that many of you had such an influence on my life and such friends that we have here. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that he said, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. And in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back to receive you, that where I am, you may be with me also. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you that he went to the cross. Father, it was a gruesome place. And when we realize what it cost for the Son of God to become the Lamb of God, Father, we just thank you, Father, that he was so willing to give up his life. Father, even a verse that Ralph shared with us this morning in 2 Corinthians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty he might become rich. We might become rich. And Father, we are rich. We got the garments of Christ. I pray for the food, Father, downstairs. Would you bless it, bless the fellowship? Thank you again, Father, for bringing these folks out today. Remind them how much you love them. Remind them, Father, of the invitation that's out to them if they've never trusted Christ. Oh, God, that they would do it today in the quietness of their hearts. They would accept that invitation to be united with Jesus Christ, Father, forever and ever and ever. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.